it's her birthday. Hey. What's up, everybody? My name is Freakin' Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you are, in fact, listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving, Carolyn.
Happy Thanksgiving, Joe.
I hope everyone out there is planning on having a great Thanksgiving. Is it what? It's coming up this Thursday, 2 days from now.
Yeah.
Two whole entire days from now. You get to eat all those good foods and put it in your stomach. Or if you're listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show on Thanksgiving Day,
this exact show,
if you're listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show, if you downloaded it on Thanksgiving and you're enjoying it,
you're gobbling it up.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing, hanging out on the computer or in your car driving or whatever you're doing.
I hope you're listening to it while you're eating the turkey.
Yeah, just before. It's playing in the background as you guys are saying your thanks. And we might as well go ahead and do that. We'll jump ahead. You're what? You're fisting?
You're feasting. Feasting. It's the feast.
Yes, the grand feasting.
Well, Joe, your birthday was last Thursday.
It was.
How was your birthday?
I spent the whole entire... Some people say it was a challenge. I say it was a gift to myself. But basically, I stayed away from the computer. And any activity on the internet, like including not going on the internet on my phone, or even touching a computer the whole entire 24 hours of my birthday.
Do you consider your phone to be a computer?
Well, that was connected to the internet. I wasn't go do anything else besides do that.
But you were texting, though. Does that count?
Did I text?
I don't know. I saw you. You could have not been, but I saw you, like, looking at it.
No, but that's... I can't shut off communication, but basically, like, I was not on the computer, and I wasn't on, like, the internet.
Okay.
And I took that to its fullest. And it was sort of tough, you know what I mean? So I went from, you know, the 24-hour period. I know for some people out there, like, oh, that's the big... You know, that's tough. I do that all the time. I don't even know what the computer...
I don't even have an email address.
I'm not... I live in the freaking, you know, the Renaissance period right now. I paint with real horse hair and shit like that. I don't know.
I made my own brush.
I made my own brush. You're not hardcore, Joe. Fuck you, bitch. And, I just think that you're a loser if you think that. No, I'm just kidding. But
so, how was your blackout? Was it really a challenge?
That's what I called it. I called it the birthday
blackout.
Birthday computer blackout is what I pronounced it on Twitter. I announced the exact
BCB.
Yeah, I announced it the exact moment in which I was gonna stop being on the computer was midnight West Coast time.
Because we live, you know, on the West Coast.
Yeah, we live on the West Coast. So it was like for those people
West Coast time zone.
So for those people that gave me birthday wishes on the Facebook, I was like, oh, cool. You actually got it in. You're like the first people in that 3 hour period. So I was like, oh, you're the lucky ones. You get the first responses back. But I guess, yeah, my birthday was, you know, it was quiet. It was at first it wasn't like it was a little bit like more of like going to rehab or trying to quit like a drug or something like that, because every notion, because you know, majority of the work I do is on the computer. You know, I was like, oh, let me edit something. No, you can't. And especially since I shot the panel, what was the exact title of the panel that you had?
In between the panels. It was a panel about being in between the panels.
And it had, who was on that list? It was representing Curl Studio was Karen Bilevsky. DC Conspiracy represented by Matt, how do you pronounce the last name?
Dembitsky.
And then we had Molly.
Molly Lawless.
Molly Lawless, like Lucy Lawless.
But her name is Molly.
Yeah, but her name is Lolly. Molly.
Molly.
And she was related to Xena. No, I don't know.
She didn't really look related to Xena.
I know she was.
But she could be.
But she is. She's out.
They're both women.
Yeah. All women are related. I guess that's what you're saying.
All women are related to Xena.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was pretty interesting. But before I go on with the story, I'd like to announce that, yeah, I have a tour date, which is interesting. Carolyn had a tour date, which happened last week. But I'm going to be speaking at the Final Cut users group in Washington, D.C. on December 1st. It's going to be pretty interesting because everyone knows that I use Avid. So it's like there's always that battle between Final Cut and Avid.
So,
but I was invited.
Are other people going to be on this adventure?
There is an adventure.
Yes. I'm calling it an adventure. I don't know. To this event, are other people going to be on? Is it a panel, or how is the structure of this event?
I guess what you could do is you can. The laptop is really far from right here. I'm trying to read what it is, but it is. It's going to be on December 1st, and it's part of the GV Expo.
I'm asking what the format is.
I have no clue. I was invited. It's one of those things
where. Is it a panel?
No, it's just. I really have.
Are you supposed to present something? You should find out.
I clearly have no idea.
But I need to find out, because what if you come there and then they're like, oh, Joe, it's your turn or something, and you're just like, I just showed up. Like, you're going to bomb.
But I know there's always a potential for me to bomb, and I think there's enough time that, like, you know, it's December 1st. What is that, like, 2 weeks from now? At the
not quite actually.
Well, whatever, like
one week.
One what? It's 1 week away.
Pretty much, because isn't like Thanksgiving's like near the end of November, right?
Yeah, I should ask Rodney, who's in charge of the
thing. Is like technically he should be telling you.
Yeah, he should be telling.
But also
he said he's gonna speak about the agenda beforehand. I've never gone to one of these meetings. I was always told to go to one of these.
But he was like, "This is check." You might want to check in beforehand.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely check in. But you know, the world must know that I'm gonna be speaking over there at the.
You have to pay to see Joe speak.
It's gonna be at the Washington D.C. Convention Center, and I'm guessing that's a pretty big convention center.
You're gonna speak to the whole convention center?
I don't exactly know. It's part of the GV Expo conference room.
Oh, it's a conference room.
201. What does that mean? Conference room.
It's probably gonna be like one of the New York Comic Con situations where you
like
have,
it is a panel.
A small room, yeah.
Like it is a panel. So I guess
so. It is a panel.
It is a panel.
You better check because what if you have to present? What if you have like 20 minutes or something to present?
Well, I'm assuming
and
that
then they have this big stage and you're just like, yeah, I use Avid. Any questions?
I'm gonna go ahead and assume that like the producer of the show is gonna give me what my agenda is since he invited me to be on there.
Yeah.
I'll follow up now. All right, I'll do that. This exact very moment, but I will find out what we're going to be talking about. But if not, I mean, we never really have an agenda on this show either, so we're going to, I mean, sometimes we do. A lot of times we really have points that we're going to mix, but I never have
an agenda on this show, but I can always roll with it. But it would be a lot different if I was to speak in front of, like, you know, a multi-seat, you know, room.
Yeah.
I mean, 100 people or whatever is going to be.
And also specifically today, I'm also speaking at my old school, like in Virginia Commonwealth University. I'm speaking to the graduating class there. So I'm always, you know, they're just like, talk, go ahead and talk. I guess they trust me just to talk.
Are you going to bring anything to talk to the students?
I really don't want to show any work or do anything like that. I really just want to talk to the students and see. Because, you know, times are changing since when I graduated and when they're graduating this year. So I'm pretty interested. Because whenever it comes to showing any work, it's going to break down to always just comparison. People are going to be like, oh, why am I going to listen to this guy? I don't like his work. And all that's purely always subjective, you know? But really what I want to do is just talk to them later on today about basically what they're trying to do and hopefully just guide them and give them some good advice on things. They basically stuff that I wasn't told is the key. I want to tell them stuff that's happening out there that, you know, that I wasn't told while I was in college. And I think that'll be the key to success. Not being like, look at my work, I'm the shit, you should follow me.
Well, maybe they should at least have a bit of background in the beginning to who you are.
I mean, all I can do is play my reel and, you know, I mean, I'm going to tell them my background.
Maybe you don't have to play your reel, but, you know.
I mean, I'm going to tell them my background.
I would want to always know who I'm talking to.
No, I mean, there's always that. There's going to be that introduction. I mean, the part of the story is saying, like, okay, where have I been? What got me to where I am today? You know, stuff like that. Who am I? But they know I graduated from the same department.
That's good.
So that's already the initial part. So
they're like, this could be you.
Or more, you know, I just want to, it's good to inform them, because even when I was in that same exact class, no one really spoke to me about what's happening out there.
Yeah.
Actually, it was bullshit. I mean, nothing against that, but, I mean, Sonali, who's the teacher of this class, was, you know, I was really thankful that she, you know, she called me up, well, not called me up, but she emailed me on Facebook, in which a lot of people seem to do business now.
So it's called me up, emailed me. Oh, wait, it was on Facebook.
Yeah.
First you emailed
me on Facebook.
All three.
Email me on Facebook. And, you know, invited me to do a talk there. So that's really cool.
Do you think that, like, when people communicate on Facebook like that, and no offense to this teacher, I don't even know who she is, but it's like, do you think when people communicate with people like that, it's kind of like, I don't think it's wrong or anything, but it is kind of like an easy accessibility thing.
I mean, I think that's what people like about Facebook, and so you can just get contact info. And I like how it's also in the descriptions of who else is speaking there. Mm-hmm. And I chose to go first, I was like, if no one's going first, I'll go first.
So how many other people are going to be there?
I'm not quite sure, but I know at this point it's me and two other people.
Okay.
But I like how there's a description of how she was like, okay, so this person, you know, she's working like the 9 to 5 in this job, and this person's freelancing, and Joe, you're doing your own thing. It's like, what does that mean? I'm doing my own thing. I guess I am doing my own thing.
What is the difference between doing your own thing and freelancing?
I have no clue. I mean, like, that's what I was wondering about. I'm doing, in quotation, doing my own thing. Joe, you're doing your own thing. It's like, well, how else would I do it any other way?
I don't honestly know what that even means. Because you could still be working, like, for example, you could still be working 9 to 5 and still be doing your own thing.
And I could be working 9 to 5 and just not announce it to everyone either.
I know, but maybe, what I'm saying is, like, do you see what I mean, though? But, like, maybe that 9 to 5 person is doing her own thing as well.
Yeah,
I don't know what doing your own thing, like, honestly really means.
I think also one thing that she brought up, too, was that, like, the people that she talked to, she realized, like, not a lot of people are doing stuff, like, with film or photo. And she was like, you're one of the few people that are still doing your own thing.
I always, like, seem to run into or hear about people that graduate in film and also, you know, other artistic disciplines, but especially in film. And then, like, I'll run into them, or, like, they'll know a family member. They'll be like, oh, you know, I know my daughter is a filmmaker also, or, oh, my niece is a filmmaker. And I'm like, oh, really? What's she done? And then, like, they're like, oh, you know, she's looking for a job or something, you know, like, it doesn't really sound like they're actually using their skills.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. That's happened, like, you know, enough times that it's been prominent.
And I'm almost feeling that this might be, like, speaking later today at the school is like a warm-up to the DV, the GV Expo.
How much do people have to pay to see you on December 1st? I heard that there was a cover charge.
From what I was told, the producer, Rodney, said that it's free. It's free to go there, but it's, you gotta pay to be part of.
I think it's free for a membership, but you have to pay if you're not a member.
I don't know. I didn't really.
You have to be a member of the Final Cut Pro users group.
Just to get in?
For free.
Man,
just like walk in off the street, you have to pay.
I gotta check up on that because I wanna have my crew film this.
You see
this.
What I mean about that, though?
Yeah, I should.
You have to be a member?
I did get an email last week saying, like, all of a sudden I paid for, or I have a ticket to it or something like that. I was like, what is that? I should check up on this.
Yeah, you probably should.
I'll check up on it.
So I remember you sending me the link, and I was like, oh, can I go? But then I saw that there was, like, a price cost
for a
non-member.
But then the producer
answered. I don't really feel like, honestly, paying to be a member of the Final Cut Pro users group. But then I don't use Final Cut Pro.
But then the producer answered back on that same answering, saying, like, it's free to get in and free. It's just,
well, it's free for you because you're making an appearance.
No, but he was saying for people, but
if they're a member of, you have to read the small print.
I don't know, man. I just invite to this stuff. What I'm saying is, like, it'll be. I'm interested.
I guess we'll clear it up in the next radio show.
Yeah, we'll clear it up on that show. Wait, will we? When is December 1st?
I don't know. Maybe we might not. I don't know when December 1st is.
I don't have my. Do you have your touch?
No, not with me right now.
Oh, we got. Let me find out real quick when December 1st is.
Okay, Joe is looking at the calendar, and we are finding out when December 1st is. I'm gonna bet it's a Wednesday, but I have no clue. I have no idea about how these calendar things work out and all these numbers. But Wednesday seems to be pretty good day. I think a lot of events are held in Wednesday.
Okay, so
convention center.
So yeah,
DC.
Sorry to cut you off, but yeah, it is the day before our next radio show.
So it's a Monday.
No, I'm a day after. My fault. Day after.
It's a Wednesday.
It's the Wednesday.
Yeah, so I was right.
Yeah.
Awesome. Give me a high five. Precog.
But yeah, so I guess we're gonna find out. We'll find out how later on today's talk is, and how the pre-pro or the how I get into the mindset of the next speaking engagement.
So we will be able to find out by the next show if people pay or not.
I sorely think that people should actually just have Carolyn and Joe's show go up there and talk for like an hour and just go shoot.
But we don't know anything about Final Cut Pro.
That's not true.
What am I supposed to be telling people?
I know a whole lot about Final Cut Pro.
Well, I mean,
I just don't use it.
I'm just saying, what am I supposed to like tell them about Final Cut Pro?
I just think that even like me and you just talk.
I saw the box just has horses on it or something.
I think like
I don't even know what that is.
I think you and I like just communicating in general seems more entertaining a lot of times than a lot of panels that I see. You know what I mean? It's just I feel that like people really we should get that out there and be like, hey, why don't you hire Carolyn and Joe to speak and just to
we
entertain
should do,
you
like,
guys?
Do like a live Carolyn and Joe cast?
Yes.
In the Smod Castle.
Yes, we should guest star in the Smod Castle.
Exactly.
That would be awesome. It'll be like Carolyn and Joe show versus Jane Silent Bob.
Oh man,
that would be the sickest thing ever. I challenge Kevin Smith right now.
I will
pay my ticket. Dude, I'll solely pay my ticket to have Carolyn and Joe's show versus Jane Silent Bob on
I think
it.
We'd get our asses it handed to us.
It doesn't even matter, man. I'm not going to get my ass handed to him. My ass will not be eaten up by Kevin Smith. I know he likes to eat ass. He ain't not eating my ass.
I don't think he would want to eat yours.
That's good. But that's what I'm saying.
He only likes his wife's.
That's good. I'm throwing that challenge out there. The Carolyn and Joe show versus Jane Silent Bob. Let's do it. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
I look forward to it. But yeah, go whatever. December 1st, and if you're in VCU today, you can go check out the... Go hurry, and go check out... I don't know if you can get in there, but...
I thought it was a closed-off class.
It probably is. I don't know, but knock down that door. Should be pretty interesting.
Excuse me!
We'll see.
I came here to see Joe Garbale.
Let's see if I can start. What's it called? If I can bootleg my own talk, that might be interesting as well.
Bootleg.
I'll bring in the mics. I was thinking about like miking myself for it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but yeah, who knows what I'm talking about?
Do you out there in the audience think that Joe's dorky?
But look on the website of the Final Cut. Final Cut Pro users group, everyone has like an agenda, but for some reason I'm not listed as having an agenda. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I'm
you
like the wild card.
In. You gotta check in with this guy, I'm telling you.
I'm like the
First
wild
of all,
card.
He booked you when you didn't even know about it.
Well,
your name was on the website and you didn't know about it.
Yes, that's what's weird.
So what
about
is that? What is that? You need to find out this information.
I will find out this
information.
They're
basically like, you know, putting you up there and like putting you on the billing. And you were never confirmed.
I want to win one of those gifts, though. That might be fun to win one of those.
You can't win.
I can't win?
You're on the panel. That's how it works.
That's no fair.
Why would they give you a gift if you're just like already on the panel?
Because I was there for free.
That'd be totally rigged.
It's
not going to happen, Joe.
It should happen, though, don't you think?
So you know, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, but it should happen,
In AIGA, I can't win any of the stuff.
Well, this is different, though.
How's it different?
Because... Because
guests cannot win. That just makes no sense.
If I pay money to be part of that,
You don't pay money, though.
No,
you said you get in for free.
No, but to be part of the raffle, I have to pay money.
Oh, well, maybe that's different.
Yeah, so
What's the raffle for? What do you win?
You win, like, all this expensive stuff.
Well, tell us.
All right, let me go look.
Why don't you just bring the laptop over here, will you?
It's plugged in.
It's plugged in, apparently. Why don't you use your mind powers? Why can't you read that far across the room, Joe? Why can't you be a precog like me? Can't you... Out of all the 7 days of the week, I just want to say that I picked the correct date.
You just want to keep saying that.
It's awesome. Heck all right, yeah.
All right, let me detach this and we'll bring it closer.
I mean, since you're going to spend half the radio show away from your mic.
All right, here we go. Let's bring it here.
Whoa. The laptop is now back on the Carolyn and Joe show.
All right, we tried to keep it away.
We missed it for a few months.
Now, there's a lot of get... all right, let's get
wow,
to the...
Oh, wow, there are prizes. Hello.
So I'm assuming you can just... You can go on there and... you can go on to the DC... Go to DCFCPUG.com.
What?
That's the...
Well, let's work through some of these
DC
prizes.
Final Cut Pro Users Group.
Over $16,500 in the prize bag. Person win all these?
I have no clue.
Because that's insane. Go through some of them, like the best ones. Which one is the one that you'd want to win, like out of all those?
Let's see.
Because there's like a really long list, guys. There's like a list of probably 20 different things.
Yeah, there's a lot of prizes that can be won.
So
here.
How do you win this?
You enter the
$5 per. Wait, go back up. Up.
Go back up.
Onto
the webpage.
Up on the webpage. Okay. Winner circle raffle. Regular base is $5 a ticket to play. Grand prize raffle is $20
per
ticket
to play.
Shit. Are you going to play?
Well, let's go to the beginning of this page. All right. Let's see if we actually have to pay to get in.
Yes.
Where? Ticket information. Like this is the, see, this is the grand prize raffle, general raffle, registered member entry. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, just the entry. $10 plus $1.24 for the registration fee.
So
it's $11.24.
So people have to
just
pay
to see you talk.
People are going to pay to see me talk.
Yes.
I think that's fucking genius.
And we then you pay more if you want to buy your ticket with the raffle, which is $20 for that big raffle.
So this is the top of it. Now we'll put a link. I don't know, but District of Columbia Final Cut Pro Users Group, special holiday event, December 1st. 2010, 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. over at the Washington D.C. Convention Center, live from the GVE Expo 2010. Rod Mitchell, Joe Carabeo, Straight Productions, Jeff Greenberg, FMC, Mark Lesher, George Kennedy, and Cameron King, After Effects D.C. and special guests. Don't miss it.
Oh my gosh, this event's for 3 hours, Jill. You're gonna talk for 3 hours?
I have no clue.
You have all those other guys there.
Yeah, there's a lot of other people that are gonna speak there. Look, see, they got an agenda, but see, I'm not listed as like, you know, the welcome highlights.
Yeah, well, you know,
After
you
Effects,
might
George
work
Kennedy,
out with that guy.
DC. What's the big deal anyway? G Technology, Automatic. Maybe they're just gonna be like, all right, Joe, shoot the shit. I'm like, whoa, crap. You want
well,
me to
you,
go and
you,
do?
You better
you do,
find out though, because you don't know, man.
It's like
you, I said, they already booked you without your permission. Who knows what you're gonna do there? What if they ask you to like take off your clothes and do a TSA inspection?
Well, I am not gonna do that. I'm not gonna take off my clothes for any.
Get frisked.
This is free. I'm not taking my clothes off for free here.
Well, you better check out, man. I'm telling you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they apparently have stuff. I'll talk to them about that. Maybe I'll do something. But yeah, they got all types of prizes.
So, like,
Red Giant Software,
what are
Magic.
Great things?
They got Magic Bullet Suite valued at $800. Red
what is
Giant
Software. What is that Magic
King
Bullet
Suite? I use that. Those are production software.
Well, like, talk about it to someone that wouldn't know.
I can't really. It's just color correction.
Oh, you just
is what
can't.
It does.
Oh.
It's color correction.
Okay, that's all you need.
It's color correction software.
Okay, so out of that list of like 20
that.
Things, what would you want?
Probably that. Or
you want
the
Magic Bullet Suite?
Or the Sorensen Squeeze.
What is that?
It's just a converter. Software converter. I don't know how to best describe that.
I love all this film production like terminology. The Sorensen Squeeze. Like what is, like I always think that that's funny.
There's a lot of Mac stuff, of course, because we're at the Final Cut Pro world.
Mac Flux. What is that? Web design software?
Movie slate for your Apple mobile device. I don't have something.
See, so are you gonna like bid in that? Because I guess you can. You know, it's for the raffle.
See, they have speakers there, and you know, of course, it's in alphabetical order. So I'm hoping I'm not going third. I don't know what's going to happen.
Would you rather go first?
But look, they do have my profile, and they just took off of my website. It's all right, and they took just everything off my website.
Well, like I said, they booked you without your permission in the beginning. So, of course, they're just going to take directly from your website.
But whatever, man. It's
they're going to pirate you.
But either way, it's like it's an opportunity, you know what I mean?
Oh, of course.
To go
out. I'm not downing that. I'm just basically telling you, you better look out for what they want from you.
Well, you know me.
You know,
I'm not going to...
Of course, you can handle the stage, and I know that's fine, but I'm just saying... You don't know what this is all about, to be honest.
But you know, I'm not a type of person that's going to be taken advantage of straightforward. If I need to like create a really awkward moment just for me not to be an asshole, I will create that awkward moment. You know what I mean?
I understand that, but
even
I think it would be good
out,
to like
I'll,
you know,
find out.
Find out
I'll
what
find
you're
out
doing.
What I'll find out what I'm going
to
talk about. I'll find out what the agenda is, and
that'd
see
be good to
and
know.
See what it see how it plays out. I'm surprised I haven't been contacted about that. Maybe you know, maybe I will be contacted. It's Thanksgiving. I'll do that after I record the show, after I leave to go do my other sparring talk. So that should always be pretty interesting.
So out of this whole raffle, I mean, honestly...
Well, everything else is all Mac stuff.
I don't know. I don't even know what all that stuff is, because obviously I don't edit. But, like, you know, I'm just saying, I don't know if I would enter.
They even have mouse pads for $10 each.
Who's Larry Jordan?
He's a director. He does like a lot of concert stuff.
He has his own mouse pads. It's pretty rad. I need to get a new mouse pad for work because the one that I'm using was like already given to me, and like it has like this dirty area on it, and I'm always like, I'm like, man, I wish I could like get rid of this dirt.
Yeah.
But then like I never do because like I just kind of use what I have, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm like in my head, I'm like, it would be nice to have like a nice new mouse pad.
So should I take this laptop away now so we can focus on the?
Let's do that.
Not so we don't have the screen staring right at us.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing it over, though. Because...
You gotta keep it near the studio. The studio grounds.
Well, you know, I mean, usually when James is here and we have...
He's always on there. He's always like, let's look up some.
Well, he wants to always, like, look up, like, porn or something on
And I'm like, no, that's the non-porn computer. That's the work computer, sir.
You know what I think happened, Joe? I think what happened was as soon as we had that chat roulette episode of the Carolyn and Joe show.
Yeah.
That's like the last time that I can remember that we blatantly used the laptop on our show.
That's good because, you know, that was like, already a risk for me to use the studio laptop for chat roulette.
Oh, man. Chat roulette was such a big waste. But I mean, like, it was good, like, as an experience to go on that, you know, just so I can say, hey, I did that for an hour. But... Man, I don't ever want to go back on that again.
I'm really,
no way.
I'm enjoying that we're doing a lot of talks now, and I hope we get a chance to do a lot of talks, a lot more talks, the more work that we do. But I think one of these days, me and you need to get on a panel or something as like actually on there at the same time, and then they'll get the full force of how we talk and square off, and people are like, oh, so what's your creative process, and so what is drawing? How's it feel with your How does it feel that being a female and a male working together in the working environment affects your just doing questions like that? I look forward to answering questions to people that I don't have to hear all day long.
Maybe I should pitch that New York Comic Con next year.
You should do that.
Carolyn and Joe show.
You should do that. We should pitch that. It'll be amazing.
That's what I'm gonna pitch for next year.
Should pitch multiple ones. See how that goes. That'd be awesome if there was, and we have guests. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we can have like different time slots. So you know, we have an hour, so maybe we can do like, you know, maybe do like four or five.
We can just
have four or five guests.
Yeah.
That will come up, and then we'll take audience questions.
And they do have, you know, we can have people that we can possibly have up there. That'd be pretty interesting at the same time.
But they would have to be like a time thing. Like I think it'd be like, you know, just a few minutes with each person. Or would we have them all up there at the same time? Because then it would end up being a panel.
Why don't we just... That's what it's going to be like anyway. Pretty much. So it's...
I like having the flavor of like actually recording the radio show, though.
But it's going to be hard to have a rotating amount of people.
That's true.
Or, because then they're going to have to come in at a specific time. You know what I mean? That's always difficult.
But
and then when they go there, they're like, oh, so I'm only going to be here for like 20 or 5 minutes and then I'm out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like we should just have one like main guest or something like that.
Maybe that.
And that would be the house where it's like maybe after we do Carolyn and Joe show versus Jane Silent Bob, we'll do Carolyn and Joe show like verse, I don't know, Listen to Jimmy or something like that.
Or maybe like, you know, maybe just have us and we'll just take questions from the audience.
I think that'd be completely fine too.
If you have a guest, then, you know, I'm not against that, but then it's going to basically be them.
Yeah, let's focus on us. That's really what we're trying to say. See that? And the new leg that should be out and stuff like that.
It's just going to be us like basically interviewing someone else though, cuz I don't really want to like, I mean that's fine, but I'd rather just have us do our own like radio show and then have answer questions from people like live.
I will, in fact, if we get this, I want James to be there. No doubt about it. James will be like our Andy Richter. That's what he's going to be.
You think he would like being up there performing live in front of?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what he thinks, man. He'll be there. It'll be amazing, and James can perform in front of a crowd. You know, I look forward to that. That'll
be great.
I've
seen the open mics you guys used to do, but yeah, like that'd be I'd be down with that.
So yeah,
I'm going to pitch that to New York Comic Con.
We should pitch other stuff, too. We should bring back the other side. The panel will be just as successful as last time.
Wouldn't it be funny if we're scheduled at the same time?
Yeah, we're like, that's a little conflict of interest there.
Because you know they're not going to look at that. Who knows what they'll look at? I don't even know.
I don't even know. So what are you thankful for this year since Thanksgiving is coming? Is there anything in this past couple of years like, wow, I was really, you know... Not like
in the past
not,
couple years.
Not like an end of the year.
Wait, what is this? What is this question going to? The past
that's
couple
what
years.
That's what I'm getting to. You know, like if, you know, Thanksgiving. What are we looking forward to in Thanksgiving? Is there
Thanksgiving?
Any, you usually
looking forward to turkey.
Looking forward to turkey. We usually get to have two turkeys too. That's always interesting. At the same time,
it's always like fulfilling. And I'm usually, like, eat basically enough that it goes up to the top of my throat.
Yeah.
And, like, if I eat one little bite more, I'm like, man, I can't, like, even swallow.
Oh, we never talked about the panel. Do you want to talk about the panel? The
sure.
panel that you just had? So how do you think it went? There was terrible traffic going in. That was sort of brutal for me.
Yeah, like, I even left work, like, early, like, a lot early. And it took almost 2 hours to get into D.C., pretty much. And we don't even live that far from D.C. Well, you know, we live on the West Coast, so, you know, for us to drive from the West Coast all the way to D.C., it took us almost 2 hours, man. It was incredible.
Yeah, I drove as fast as I could.
Well, like, you know, that was kind of traffic blue, and D.C. traffic is just, I know other cities
traffic
are...
traffic is fucking terrible.
I know other cities are bad, too, but, like, honestly, I really think that D.C. is probably the worst.
It is by far the worst.
I mean, do you
traffic
think, what
ever.
About, like, what if you had to commute from, like, New Jersey to, like, you know, New York or something like that? That's probably bad.
I think it's a lot easier.
Really?
Yes.
But have you done it, like, during every day, like, back and... See, the thing is, you haven't done it, like, every day type thing. You know,
that's
like,
what I'm saying.
Commute.
That's what I'm saying. I bet D.C. is still worse.
Really?
I have a feeling it's worse.
Because we, like, really don't live that far away, truthfully. Like, when there is no traffic... You can drive into D.C. in 20 minutes. Like, you know, but those are during the off hours. If you're, okay, basically, here's the thing about D.C. traffic. Is basically anywhere from, let's say, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then in the evening from, like, 3:30. No, let's even be generous. From 4 p.m. until 7 p.m. is rush hour.
Yeah.
Like, most other areas, it's, like, you know, I don't know. It's just, like, a little bit after 5 is their rush hour. But our rush hour basically starts at 3.
Did you feel like...
Like, you know, it's true, because even, like, the metro, you know, like, the metro fees go up, I think, at like, 3 p.m. or something.
See, this is where I think...
It's, like, really? So, basically, you have to pay an extra $2 if you leave work at 3?
See, this is... All
rush
this,
hour.
All this traffic in D.C. brings me up to, like, this end-of-the-world scenario. You know what I mean? It's like, when this is... You're always, like,
that's
fearing...
what I dread. Like, this, I swear I dread it
is
all the
is
time.
That, you're, that's what you're always fearing. Like, you always fear... I mean, it's a good... I mean, I think it's a rational thing to fear. Like, you feared, like, those moments, like, in War of the Worlds where everyone's fighting over
God.
That one car.
Yes.
And then, I remember...
I swear to God, that's how it's going to be. If something bad happens...
And also, we were just watching Children of Men, and then, like, when everyone... And, like, you're like, when they had, like, a spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie yet. All right. Now, so there's, like, lots of moments of just pure chaos in
yeah, like, I'm serious.
Children of Men.
Because if you see how the Beltway is in
how
D.C.?
How many years to watch Children of Men?
4.
It's all right, but...
But you know what? Okay, you see the Beltway in D.C.?
Yeah.
Holy shit, man.
If a bomb goes off...
No, seriously, if some terrorist attack or some crazy bomb or, like, I don't know. I don't even know.
Some woman with, like, a bomb implant in her
boob.
Yeah,
a bomb breast implant. Some, like, you know... Some huge thing happens, or like a dirty bomb, or something hits the air. Oh, I don't even know what's gonna happen. Like, basically, their cars are gonna be stacked up on each other. You can't even move anywhere. At that point, like, honestly, quite honestly, I keep a pair of running shoes in my car, and I am seriously gonna just, like, put on a gas mask and put on my running shoes and leave my car.
What would
at
be
at that point? Like, seriously,
what would be
I really
in your
will.
Survival kit?
Because there is no way in hell my car is even gonna get through that traffic. Honestly, you could wait there for hours. I bet people would wait there for hours, and then their gas runs out.
They're like, what's going on? Why is there no one moving?
No, seriously, something runs out. I don't know, people panicking on the streets, homeless people asking you for money, trying to grab at your car, people coming at you with baseball bats, trying to get in your car, and zombies coming at you like Walking Dead. I'm telling you what's going to happen, man. I'm seriously just going to get out of my car and walk if it comes to that point.
And just walk?
Yeah.
You gotta run.
Or, yeah, whatever. Run, walk, whatever. I'm gonna get the hell out of there. But I'm just saying, I carry some running shoes with me.
What would be in your survival pack? What is the survival pack that you need?
Well, ideally,
that you need.
I wanna that actually everyone needs. Have.
Everyone doesn't
need that. This is the thing. Not everyone even needs this. If you wanna survive, you gotta have your own pack. But if other people choose not to have their own survival pack, then that's their problem.
What,
not everyone needs to survive.
What is?
Seriously, I don't want all those people to survive. Because, like, look how many people are in D.C. and they all drive in, like, one car per person.
It's quite amazing when you see that with the HOV lane, people are just soaring by because that's, like, three people or more. And then the ones in the other side is people just with one car.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
One person in the car. Well, anyway. I'm sure other cities have the same problem, but, you know, in D.C. it's just a lot worse. And then even on top of that, a lot of people use the metro, so, you know, imagine that chaos.
Yeah.
Because you won't even be able to get the heck out of that place. Like, that's when, seriously, at that point, I'm going to get on my running shoes and run down the track.
See, that's when on my birthday, when I didn't use a computer for a whole day, I'm training my body to get used to non-electronics.
Well, I actually want a gas mask. I'm serious. I don't know how much they cost, but ideally, honestly, I've been looking into it. Like, if something happens...
You can buy one at, like, the Navy store or whatever. Not the Navy,
old,
but whatever.
The Old Navy?
Yeah, or you can buy one at Old Navy.
Really? Oh, man, that's awesome.
I don't know.
I still have, like, $5
the surplus.
On my... I have $5 on my Old Navy coupon left. I can use that towards my gas mask.
Your Old Navy brand gas mask.
Yes. I would use that.
That will last, like, 2 days, 5 days or something like that.
Really?
I don't know. Old Navy, whatever.
How long does a regular gas mask last for?
I don't even know really if the...
I don't even know how to use it. And I want to actually... I need to get... Actually, Joe and I saw that movie 127 Hours with James Franco.
Awesome movie, by the way.
Very amazing movie.
I highly recommend everyone see that movie. It's a great movie.
And it was directed by Danny Boyle from Slumdog Millionaire. Which I said that
yes.
in my Indian voice.
Slumdog Millionaire, man.
But anyway, go see 127 Hours. I know it's in limited theatrical release. It only is in like 22 or 24 theaters.
It was cool.
Go and see it.
It was interesting
awesome.
The day that we saw that, too, because like we saw the...
Because I won tickets to see Grand Canyon 3D.
At the IMAX, yeah.
At the IMAX at Smithsonian.
And they're like, what else should we do? And like, I was sort of wasn't quite sure if we should watch the 127 Hours after we see the Grand Canyon stuff and then watch a movie about a guy who gets stuck. Like while rock climbing and he has to cut off his arm. I was like, that might be a weird mix. But we did it because we're hardcore.
Yeah, that movie's insane. And now I carry around a knife with me.
What's your review on that movie real fast then?
Well, it's kind of a hard review because...
Did you enjoy
it? It's just like so amazing that it's more of like... I'd rather have our viewers just take our word for it and go out there and, you know... see it for themselves.
I
can't really like, you know, it's basically like the most amazing thing to me is like seeing James Franco's acting and like basically he's just in this like little cave tavern with his arm being stuck by a boulder for 5 days.
Yeah.
But it's amazing because like there's only like three people in the technical like real-time cast. But then at the same time, you're seeing flashbacks of, like, his mom and, you know, his coworker and other people that he's close to. So there is, like, a larger cast, but at the same time, it's basically James Franco and a rock. And the whole story that tells throughout that whole time of the movie, it's limited in space because he can't move.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, he has to amputate his arm to live. But it's so awesome how, like... the story is structured like on that simple context of just being like, oh, a rock climber falls and like, you know, has to amputate his arm.
Yeah,
like that's basically what the movie's about. But so much happens in, you know, how I don't know how long the movie is, whatever, 2 hours or whatever, but so much happens that like you forget about how it is just a guy and a rock together. But it, the movie has, like, more context to it about, like, life and how great it is to, like, you know, have an arm. So, like, it just makes you feel like, you know, you should be, like, again, with this whole Thanksgiving thing, to be thankful of what you do have and that guy's willingness to live.
And I think that's really, to me, like, you know, you go into it and you're sort of thinking, like, you know he's going to cut off his arm. That's like, it's just like when you watch the Titanic, you know the Titanic's going to sink. You know that this dude's arm is going to, he's going to have to cut off his arm. And I think that from the filmmaker's perspective, it's like making that the moment, trying to build that moment as to not, like, make it into a disgusting. Yeah, it was pretty disgusting and graphic, and, like, there's many, like, you see them cut veins and shit like that and cut nerves, like, and that stuff is, like, brutalizing. But at the same time, it's almost like, it's like almost like releasing handcuffs, you know what I mean? Because you see his whole entire build up towards life and you see all this stuff. It's like he has to make a choice. It's like, well, you're either fucking gonna just die here or you can continue to live, you know what I mean? And it's like a weaker person probably would have just been like, I can't, my arm is stuck, like, and think like, oh, my arm is stuck, I'm just gonna die because I have no other choice. But it's almost like he took the, you know, a hero's sacrifice and sacrificed his arm to live and basically to also, you know, to because no one knew he was there, right? He didn't tell his mom where he was. He remembers, like, this girl in his past, and he's like, I can't let this be the end of my life, you know. And he almost presented himself as, like, he can't let these people down by not existing anymore. By basically, I guess, just not manning up and doing the ultimate sacrifice for them, too. Because, you know, when you lose a person, there's a hole in your life. And he didn't want them to suffer through him not being there as well. But I know that sounds like, you know, like, maybe egotistical in a way. But it's also like, well, you don't want to have your friend missing. If you had a choice, like, all right. It's like, all right, how bad do you want to live? Can you let go of your arm? Because you know you can still do what you need to do. You know what I mean? You have a certain gift, and that's what was really heroic about that. And also, like, it was really very surprising. The movie is actually pretty charming at the same time. James Franco was very charming, you know, and very fun, you know what I mean? And I love the way the whole movie was put together. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of split screens that were happening, a lot of color changes and stuff like that. But also, it was very funny. Don't you think, like, there's a lot of funny parts in it?
Yeah, there's definitely some comedy. I mean, obviously not, like, Jim Carrey comedy or something like that. But, you know, James Franco does have that charm. And him and his character was just, like, an easygoing character that liked to explore the wilderness. Like,
yeah.
He's a professional rock climber. And that's the character.
And, like, that, you know, he... Danny Boyle, the director, like, had the, you know, he had a huge challenge. How do we make this into a very cinematic, but also, like, a strong story? A man stuck basically with a wall and a rock. You know what I mean? There was barely a lot of space in there at all, like, at anything.
And, like, no props really either. He had, like, a little bit of water and a small flashlight and a little knife. You know, like, he had a few other things, but it was pretty much not much to work with.
And the movie was pretty... He made the movie pretty epic. You know what I mean? You felt how it felt to, like, climb through those rocks. You felt, like, the urgency of drinking water because there was, like, extreme close-ups of following water as it passed through. And, like, it's, like, just journeying into, like, the mental state of person who's stuck there. And it's being able to illustrate that is what made the movie, like, I think, to me, a success. It was great. Great casting. James Franco definitely should be nominated. Academy Award. Any award, basically, at this point. I don't know if he should win yet because I haven't seen any other people's performances. By far, he had an amazing performance.
I mean, honestly, by far, I'd say, since I can't even remember, actually, in movie history... His performance, like, really got to me more than anything else that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what to compare it to, but let's just put it that, you know, in the past films I've seen in, like, several years, like, his performance struck a real chord with me.
And that was really cool. That was by far, it was great to see that movie, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I highly recommend it. I definitely, like, movie. During, you know, the amputation moments, like, I'm not gonna lie, I put my hair over my face and I was, like, basically watching it, like, through a little bit of, like, you know, like, a wincing of my eye too, so I can make it, like, a little bit blurry. You know,
I was just laughing.
Well, I don't know why you were laughing. I think that you just couldn't handle it, and you were just trying to, like, laugh but about it.
I think you
were the only one there laughing.
I think I was laughing more or less because it's like, I'm like, oh, my God. You can actually see him cut his arm. You know what I mean? And so I'm like, oh, my God, they're actually going for it, dude.
But why were you laughing? It's not really that funny.
No, but it's not funny, but it's also, like, enjoying. You're like, oh, my God, they're fucking going for it, dude. This is insane. Like, it's, like, insane laughter of, like, just being like, this is freaking insane. They're doing it, man.
You know, like,
it's
I wasn't really watching, like, the other people in the theater, but I can pretty much guarantee you that I think you were, like, the only one just sitting there laughing.
Dude, you could see inside of his arm, and he's cutting freaking, like, nerves, and you see his bone. I'm like, oh, my God, dude, this is crazy.
I mean, but it was tense, though. Did you feel tense, or are you just laughing?
Yeah, but it's that sort of tense level.
I was getting tense and, like, getting hot. Like, my body was getting hot. You know, like, and then I was just, like, trying to hide a little bit, like, with the hair in my face. Because I couldn't, I'm, like, really not, like, a gory, I can't really watch gore stuff. But, like, you know, and with blood, just kind of, like, ugh. But, like, you know, like, so I tried my hardest to, like, I didn't not want to not watch it. But, you know, like, I needed to have, like, you know, a little bit of blur to it to watch it.
But I mean, there's plenty
of
blur.
There's
plenty of blur when you're watching it too, like on the screen. And also they had those sound effects mm-hmm. whenever he cut off a nerve, like sort of like a stinging, like mm-hmm. You know, like if you wanted to get electrocuted.
Because that makes you have feels like you're cutting off your own arm, you know, type thing.
It was
like,
good, man.
You get that effect. But honestly, like I mean, I don't know. I usually do my awards of like you know at the end of the year and pick my favorite movie that I like that year and. I also did, like, Toy Story 3, but it affected me, like, in a different way than watching 127 Hours.
Yeah.
You know, like, Toy Story 3 was an excellent movie. But you know what? It might be a tight race at the end of the year. 127 Hours is damn good.
It was damn good, man. Highly recommend that.
I mean, it's one of those films that's, like, sadly, like, you know, like I said, it's only released in, like, something like 23 or 24 theaters or something like that, and... It's one of those films that, like, you know, hasn't made its money back yet, and I don't know if it will, but it's one of those ones that, like, is just, like, so good.
I expect it to get a wide release, though, because that's the same with Coen Brothers films, because, you know, we saw, like, No Country for Old Men, you know, like, East Street as well, and then later on it gets a bigger release because of the success of the smaller release.
But it's just, like, one of those movies, though, that, like, I really do hope gets a wider release because... You know, it's just so good. And I know that, like, not many people are going to see it because they're going to be like, oh, isn't that movie where the guy cuts off his arm? You know, like,
so, yeah.
They're going to be like, I don't know if I can't handle it. You know, like...
It's like, oh, but you can handle people getting shot up and people
I mean,
drowning
but you know
in all
that,
these other movies
but you
and
know
stuff like
the thing is, though, like, people are going to say that. Maybe that's an excuse. Maybe it's not. But
it's like, oh, yeah, but you
honestly,
can watch, like,
honestly,
Saw.
Honestly, though, if I can watch that movie, you can watch that movie. And the thing is, it's, like, it's a human condition movie. It's not, like, a gory thing where, like, everyone's getting shot up and dying
or
whatever.
It was very enjoyable. It's super enjoyable.
It's an enjoyable movie. You know, and also that scene's only for 5 minutes. And if you have to, just, you know, wince a little bit and, like, look over to the side. But you
I recommend that you do not do that
know,
so you can get the full
I'm just saying, but if you
story.
Have to. I mean, honestly, I wish I could watch it, but I just can't. I just can't. I mean, like, let's just put it that way. Like, I mean, I guess, like, honestly, if you had to, like, glue me down and, like, hold my arms down and, like, lift my eyes open with some prong, I guess I could watch it. But, like, I don't really want to actually watch it like that, Joe. So if somebody, you know, gets a little bit queasy from watching it, like, I don't mind if they, like, wince a little bit and look over to the side for a couple seconds and then look back. You know what I mean? You still get the effect.
But either way, it's rated R.
I mean, but I'm just saying, like, the other point I want to make about this is, like, if you're afraid because, like, oh, he cuts off his arm and, like, you know, let's say you're not really too into that. The thing is, like,
That's not my thing.
No, but it's, like, it's such a good movie that, like, honestly, that segment is only 5 minutes. And truthfully, for me, like, everyone says that that's the big crescendo of this movie and, like, that's what they're getting a lot of press about. But for me, it wasn't even about that scene.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, when I walked out of there, I wasn't thinking about him cutting out his arm. Like, I really wasn't. Like, I still don't... I mean, I know we're discussing it now because that's, like, the big hot topic that people are talking about. But, like, that's not the scene that makes the movie for me.
What is the scene that makes the movie for you?
I don't, at this point, know if I can pick one scene, but there's so many other gorgeous moments that happen during that film. Like, his like, semi-hallucinations where, like, it will go back to a flashback of, like, you know... like him dreaming about water. Like that segment was really cool.
Yeah,
like,
that was really awesome.
Like a storm because was
the,
happening.
Yeah, the storm. You see, the storm happens, and like, I'll.
But don't get too much into it. I don't.
We already
spoil
told him.
Spoil.
Oh, we can't tell. We already told him we're spoiling spoilers ahead of time, right?
No, we didn't.
I did. I told him, or we're telling him now.
Well, no. Well, but there's I don't a great. Wanna, there's really, a great I'm scene there. I'm just saying, a storm happens. I didn't want Joe to tell you guys, but like a storm.
Because I'll go
happens,
into detail.
Yeah. Because you're like, oh, blah, blah. But like you know that scene is really cool and. Just basically like all of his flashbacks of his life and like him thinking about his life, you know, while he's sitting there with like a rock on top of his arm, you know, and he can't get out. And also the other cool thing is like he's a rock climber and he's also like studying engineering. He wants to be an engineer. So he thinks of like all these cool ways to try to get his arm out. And seriously, like the cutting of the arm, like the amputation of his arm was his like final last resort. Cause he tried like probably, I don't know how many other techniques, but probably like 6 or 7 other ways to like get out, you know? And like they were just, you know, as hard as he tried, it just didn't happen. You know, he had like some pulleys and also the other cool thing was he had a camera with him. So he was able to document, you know, what happened and like he was giving kind of like a diary style, you know, entries on his camera. That was pretty rad too. So there's other moments, like other ways that
and this is
told
also
the story
it's definitely a period it's a period movie too. It's not like he could have just texted everyone and stuff like that. This is took place earlier, you know?
Yeah. And so like what I'm saying is that there's other moments other than the amputation that like got me, you know, and I can't pick like a certain scene, but there's also a scene where he hangs out with two girls before he gets like trapped in the rock. And that scene was pretty cool because they have a cool adventure little moment.
And I think like as an audience member, like we needed that. We need to know the fun of, you know, because he was having a lot of fun and he enjoyed going through the climb of the rocks and walking because that was his home. You know what I mean? He said like, that's like his home away from home. And then when he gets stuck, like it's in the middle of him just like having fun. All of a sudden you're like, crap. All of a sudden it just stops. Begin credit. You know what I mean? Title credit. And that's like, it's like the party stopped. That's how it felt like.
And you know, and it's also cool because like we know that it's a true story. It's all, and it's, there's a real guy out there like missing an arm because of this.
Oh yeah. It's based off a book. So
and it's based off a true story.
It's based off a book. True story. There you go.
The book confirms it.
So if I have a highest recommendation, go out there and look for your art cinema that'll play 127 hours. Just go and watch that thing, man. I mean, I don't know if that's a Thanksgiving movie because probably Harry Potter is pretty huge at this very moment. And we'll probably watch Harry Potter.
And honestly, nothing against Harry Potter, but I'm pretty sure like 127 hours, for, at least for me, I can pretty much guarantee that I'm probably going to like... I mean, 127 hours is one of those movies I'm probably not going to watch over and over again.
But you know what's
it's
good.
One of those movies that I feel like everyone should see though.
Yeah. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Have a happy Thanksgiving. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Have a bunch of good turkey. Get fat on us.
Turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy, green beans.
That's right.
Yum.
See you all later. See you later, Carolyn.
See ya, Joe.
Have a good night, everyone. Happy Thanksgiving.